Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today's scripture reading is from, oh dear. It's from Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1 to 9 and 16 to 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. Did I say it right? Okay. His wife's name, Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites? Okay. I'll just say E. From Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite woman, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out onto the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. So verse 16. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray before it starts. Oh Lord, I thank you for this passage from the Bible. Lord, you speak to us this morning, even as I deliver your word. I've prepared it already, but I ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and speak through me. And as a family, we can hear your voice speaking through us. Oh Lord, I pray that even as we exit this place after this service, your word will continue to transform our lives, because that's what your word does. Your word is powerful. Your word is transforming. Your word is alive. And that's what we want you to speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, 2 weeks ago I was preaching, and this is a continuation of the book of Judges. The book of Ruth was written during the time of Judges. It doesn't have any passage or contain any war or war victories like in the book of Judges. No miracles, actually. There's no record of miracles in the book of Ruth. No law, no regulation, but just a typical family living, struggling with affliction and calamities. Now, it begins something like that, right? Once upon a time in the town of Bethlehem, this family, Elimelech and his wife, Naomi. But there was a famine in the land, and it forces them to move. Well, they could have stayed, but they felt that, oh, this is too hard, and they had to sell their land, and they moved to Moab. During the course of time when they were in Moab, they have two sons. Elimelech died, passed away, due to some, could be sickness, could be an accident, we do not know, but he died. And the two sons married Moabite women. And they were, after 10 years of being married, Naomi's two sons also passed away. And this is affliction. Now, my name is so happened to be Ruth, and I'm preaching on Ruth. The name actually was given to me not by my parents. A missionary came to town and stayed in my home, and they gave me the name Ruth, and I was very young. And my birth certificate doesn't have my name Ruth. I'm known as Biao Ai, my Chinese name. And in Singapore, where I live, up to when I was 20 and then I came here to Bible school, everybody called me Biao Ai. But when I came to Canada, they couldn't remember my Chinese name, so I used Ruth. So in Singapore, if you said, oh, do you know a Ruth? They wouldn't know me. Yeah, so it's like I have two identities. And if I tell, if somebody from Singapore asks you, do you know Biao Ai? You wouldn't know me, right? Now, I know a lot of people have problem pronouncing my name. I know a friend, he called me Root, you know? Because for Chinese, it's hard to pronounce the TH. And also sometimes I call myself Ruth I know friends that call me Rufus because they couldn't pronounce the TH. Now, Ruth means the compassionate one. And I'm still trying to live up to that identity. Because the name was given to me not when I was born, so I added it in my water baptism. And because I have it in my water baptism cert, I could add it into my driver's license, my passport, and now all my certification. So it's official. Ruth is my name now. Now, in the male-dominated world in the ancient time, the Book of Ruth is one of the places where women played a major role, and women are the main characters. Usually you read in all the, from Genesis up to Judges, is men. But in the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther, these are the only two books where women play a major role. Now, after the passing of the three men in this story, Naomi heard that the Lord has come to their aid, come to Israel's aid, and provided food for them. So she decided to go home. And she came up to Moab with some affliction in Israel, but she came up with a family full of prospect. Now she's going to Bethlehem, back to her hometown, kind of empty. And so she urges her two daughter-in-law to go home, go to your parents' home and your parents will provide for you. I cannot bring you home. But Ruth's reply is kind of very heroic. She said to Naomi, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. She said that to Naomi, and it's kind of like a wedding vow, you know, she's saying to her, you know, to have and to hold for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. I will not leave you. Both of them are actually in pain. Naomi, because she lost her husband and her two sons. And Ruth, she lost her husband. She was in great pain. But one of the women were in greater pain, which is Naomi. And Ruth felt she needed to accompany her mother-in-law because she is in greater pain. Now, the story of this John Donner, he's a 17th century poet. And his poetry still affects us today. Have you heard of the No Man is an Island? Yes, he wrote that. Now, he gone through a lot of pain in his life. He married someone which his parents and the father-in-law doesn't approve. And so he was fired from his job as an assistant to the Lord Chancellor. And he was kind of separated from his wife, put in prison because he married someone that the father-in-law doesn't approve. And later he acquired a sickness that took all his strength away and he was almost dying. And in the midst of his sickness, he wrote a series of devotions on suffering. And his devotion still affects us today because it's very real, it's very very meaningful, and people that read it could relate to it. And at the point of his suffering, he wrote about spiritual direction and all that. And he, because suffering got his attention, it forces him to look on towards God. And one of his writing is Devotions Upon Emergent Occasion. And this is what he wrote. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of a continent, a part of the main. Now, Ruth and Naomi were suffering. Now, widows in that time, widows and orphans, they have to kind of stick together because they have a very unfortunate situation. Widows, usually women do not work in those days. And if they're widows, they have to rely on each other. And there's no way sometimes for them to get out of poverty. They have no ways or no means to work. And sometimes with stricken with poverty, unless they have a large inheritance, they will be stuck in that situation for a long time. But Naomi, however, she sent her two daughter-in-laws and said, go home, because she was determined to grieve alone. She said, I have no means. I cannot help you now. I cannot even help myself. So you go home. And when Naomi returned from Moab to Bethlehem, all the women were like excited. Oh, Naomi has come home, has come home. But she said, don't call me Naomi. She said to her people in the town, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Lord Almighty has afflicted me? So for Naomi, she felt that the hand of the Lord is actually behind us. The Lord has brought about this calamity. In the lower story, she felt all hope is gone. The Lord has orchestrated this bitterness. But later on in Ruth chapter 1 verse 22, it says, the two women returned to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And this was like a very simple sentence between chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we said, okay, two of them return and it's the beginning of a barley harvest. But God inspired the writer to write this because it's a very important, significant event. Naomi said, I came back empty. But the passage writes, two women returned. So she didn't come back empty. Of course, she came back without the husband, without the two sons, but she has a very faithful daughter-in-law accompanying her. And the barley harvest is beginning. So in a way, the writer is telling us, God is actively involved with Ruth's situation. It's a scene of everyday struggle and all that, but God is going to do something about it. It's the beginning of the barley harvest. So God is always involved in our lives. God will bring people into our lives. When I was pregnant, I usually use this example because it affected me a lot. When we were staying in Phoenix in 1993. And 94, I was pregnant with my first, I had a miscarriage. Then I was pregnant with Uriel. And at 22 weeks, I start with preterm labor. And I was hospitalized in the Good Samaritan Hospital in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have a condition called the uterus irritability. Where the womb feels that there's a foreign object and it try to push it out. So with pregnancy, there's a baby inside me, but my womb is very sensitive. It tried to push the baby out. And at that time, my walk with God is very close, and I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and I had developed a lot of complication because the medication doesn't work. I went into pneumonia. I had water in my lungs and they had to put a medication in me to eject all the water out. And they had to take an x-ray of me with pregnancy. So I had a lot of complications. They do not know what medication to give me. They give it, they even gave me a heart attack medication. And I asked the Lord, Lord, you reveal yourself to me right now. Show yourself to me right in the hospital bed, because I need you very, this very moment, because the doctors were saying, maybe this is one way of the nature's way that your baby is not normal. You know, this is one way your body is trying to expel. So I could have another miscarriage. And I asked the Lord to reveal himself to me, but he didn't. I felt silence from heaven. And I was away from home, so there's no church body to pray for me. George and I, we even have to pray in the bathroom because we had a shared room. And the church that we are going to, we are new in that church. It's a Chinese church, but I felt silence from God. But later, the church that we just changed church, and we went to this new church. And later, this lady, she found out about my condition. And when we came back from the hospital, she baked us turkey because it was near Christmas. And she asked George to come and collect this whole meal for us. And she will contact me. And she even gave us a baby shower when Uriah was born. And then I was attending BSF. And this lady, I had to stop my BSF. And they found out, this lady found out. And she had a very similar condition. And she would call up every week. Every week. For 3 months, she'll call me and check on me and pray with me. And I realized something. God didn't speak to me and say, everything is okay. Everything is okay. I will take care of you. I didn't hear it, but he sent people along my way, and he sent people to comfort me, to help me in my difficulty. And that is what God does. Sometimes we do not hear from him directly, or we do not understand. He sent people. And that is what Ruth is to Naomi right now. Naomi is really in pain, but God sent Ruth to help her. Now, immediately when Ruth went back with Naomi, she went out to glean the fields. She went up to work. Now, the ancient times of harvesting, they do not use machine to harvest right now. Oh, very fast, right? And even though they do not use machine to help them, in Leviticus, there are two passages in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy. It says in Leviticus 19, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edge of your field or gather the gleaning of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I'm the Lord your God. God gave a lot of instruction to the Israelites when they're harvesting. I know your method is not perfect. When you harvest, you leave something behind. But in fact, God commanded them three things. When they are gleaning, they have to leave a margin of the grain field unharvested. Let's say they have a plot of land and this is rectangular in shape, and they have to decide, the landowner have to decide how much they want to leave unharvested. So they could decide like a yard off the edge of each edge. They leave it unharvested so that the poor, the foreigner, and the orphans and the widows can come in and glean after them. And if they were picking up their produce and they left some, dropped some, they are not supposed to pick them up again. Leave them on the floor. And the third thing is they cannot go through the harvest second time. Let's say they're going through the grapes and they saw some behind them. They are not supposed to go back and pick them, because they are supposed to leave it for the poor, the foreigner, and the widows and the orphans. And the way it says gleaning, they're not, the Bible say when you harvest, glean your field. Because God's way of doing things is, there's a difference between gleaning and harvesting or reaping. Harvest is when you grab everything, you take everything, and it's very efficient. But gleaning, in contrast to harvest, to reaping, gleaning, the word is you gather slowly, bit by bit. So they are supposed to gather their field slowly, bit by bit. because they have to leave the rest for the for the poor, for the foreigner. And that's what Ruth did. She went after the workers. So the workers will be in front and she will go behind. And she will take what the workers have left behind. And when Ruth went, she went to the field of Boaz. Naomi may think that God has forgotten her and God has caused this calamity on her. But nothing taken God by surprise. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. So even in calamity or in blessing, God is always directing our path. So God brought Ruth to Boaz's field. Now Boaz was a pillar in that community. He was wealthy, he was affluent. But most importantly, he was a close relative of Elimelech, which is Naomi's dead husband. When Boaz saw Ruth harvest, gleaning in his field, he asked his workers, "Who is this woman?" And they told him, right? This is the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And Boaz showed great kindness to Ruth. He asked his workers not to harm her. He purposely asked his workers to leave some grain for her and even invited her to drink from the water jar. Now, Ruth worked very hard from morning to evening and gathered quite a large sum of barley. In fact, some commentators say she gathered like 30 pounds of barley after she sheafed and all that. That's a lot. Like, I go out and buy a sack of rice, you know, and you can eat it for a few days. She brought back about 30 pounds of barley. Now, when Naomi found out that Ruth gathered glean at Boaz's field, she began to realize it's the hand of God. And she said, "God has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead, for Boaz is one of our kinsmen redeemer." So now Naomi has begin to recognize that God is actually looking after her. So Naomi advised Ruth what to do. "Go wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on the best clothing, and go to the threshing floor where Boaz will be threshing wheat that day, and observe where he sleeps, and without anyone knowing, go uncover his feet and lie there." So at midnight, Ruth chapter 3 verse 8 and 9, Boaz was threshing the floor and he slept, and Ruth went and uncovered Boaz's feet and lied there, and Boaz was startled in the middle of the night, and there was a woman lying at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under a wing, for you are a close relative." Now she said, "Take your servant under your wing or spread the corner of your garment over me." And this is a non-verbal expression to request protection or deliverance from a situation, or even some commentators say proposal of marriage. Because Boaz is a relative, he can be the kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer is a male relative that had the obligation and the responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who is in trouble, danger, or need. And we were introduced to this principle in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 to 6. If a brother are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother must take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out of Israel. So the kinsman redeemer is someone who, you know, you try to carry your brother's line of inheritance. Like your brother died and a widow, you marry the widow and you carry your brother's line. Bear a son for your brother's namesake. And also in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25, if one of your fellow Israelites becomes poor and sell some of their property, their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sold. So, like Naomi, she sold everything Elimelech and Naomi, they sold everything to go to Moab. So when they come back, they were poor. They lost their inheritance. They lost their land. And she lost her husband and her son. And no way is she going to get out of this situation. So a kinsman redeemer is someone who can come and redeem them, deliver them from the situation they are in. And this is Boaz's alleged position. And that is what Ruth pledged and plead with Boaz to fulfill at the threshing floor. Now, Boaz promised Ruth at that time he will do everything in his power to help her. Why is Boaz so kind to a foreign woman? Why is he so kind to this foreign woman? Because Boaz's own mother is Rahab. It says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. And Rahab is the prostitute. When Joshua went to conquer Jericho, Rahab was the prostitute that welcomed them and then later say, protect me. And Rahab is Boaz's mom. So Boaz was a foreigner himself, and he knew what it was like to be an outsider. Now Boaz said to Ruth, there was another close relative other than him, but if he wasn't willing, he himself will help Ruth out. And the other relative wasn't willing to marry Ruth. So Boaz did. And she married Ruth and she redeemed Ruth. And the first son that Boaz and Ruth had was under Elimelech's name. Boaz did this because of his love for Ruth and also because he was obedient to the commandment. Now, in the book of Ruth, it's actually a foreshadow of what Christ, our ultimate kinsman redeemer, will do for us. We are all stuck in our sin. We are stuck in the situation we are in. And for the two widows, they will be forever widows. They will be forever poor. They are stuck in their situation. But Christ, our ultimate kinsman redeemer, came to rescue us, to redeem us, to deliver us from poverty, from darkness, to into his glorious light. He forgave us and he adopted us as sons and daughters. Now, in the lower story, God seems to have forgotten Naomi. But in the upper story, God is actually very, very involved with Naomi's life. In fact, God is brewing this genealogy of Christ. Ruth and Naomi gave birth to Obed, and Obed gave birth to Jesse, and Jesse to David. And 28 generations after David, a son is born in Bethlehem. His name is Jesus, the ultimate kinsman redeemer. And the most amazing thing is God brought a foreigner, Rahab, Ruth, both of them are foreigner, and they are part of the genealogy of Christ. In the lower story, Ruth has no chance to be accepted in the family of God, in the family, the Israelite family. But in the upper story, God adopts us. He gives us a purpose as we align ourselves with his story. Now, what can we learn also from this story? Both women were in pain, but Naomi was in greater pain. She was in despair, hopeless. She was even bitter. And she wanted to be renamed bitter, not Naomi. Naomi means sweet. And she wanted to be the opposite, bitter. And she even think that God has brought about this calamity. But God brought Ruth to her to help her. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of God, the law of Christ. And in Romans chapter 15 verse 1, and this is under the Message translation, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter. and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us need to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? As a church body, all of us sometimes go through pain, and sometimes I could be strong today, but tomorrow I may have some family situation. I may be sick. There might be some death in my family, and I would need the body of Christ to help me. And you may be weak today, but tomorrow you may be strong. And the story of Ruth is about community, about coming together to minister to one another. How can church, this church, VCAC, fulfill God's command, fulfill God's mandate? Are you in pain like Naomi, or are you in lesser pain like Ruth? Are you able to help another person, or do you need someone to come and help you? The ultimate kinsman redeemer is Christ. We can never be set free sometimes from our situation. Boaz came and rescued Ruth and Naomi. Christ came to rescue us. We can never fulfill that position as Christ did. But as a body of Christ, we need to come alongside and help each other. And we are going to go into the communion table. But before that, I want to show this short video clip. I hope they can see. That lady couldn't run anymore. She actually collapsed, and the other two men came and helped her, and then at the end she couldn't even, and they had to carry her. And she was almost at the finish line, and they helped her, and they let her down because they want her to finish the line herself. And as a body of Christ, it's not about we cannot finish the line. We need to help each other finish that line. And it's a race. All of us are in a marathon. It's not a race. But we need to help one another finish that line. And if you are strong today, you need to come alongside someone that is weak. And that is our call, our church mandate, to help one another. And I asked Sam to come up and help me. Jesus Christ is our ultimate kinsman redeemer. He actually reinstated us back as children of God. Once we were in darkness, we were in sin. But He forgave us by His death on the cross. He cleaned us. He gave us the position of righteousness. He conquered death. He conquered sickness. He rose again. And when we partake this table, the bread representing His body that is broken for us, the cup representing the blood that is shed for us. If you are sick today, by His stripes. He was beaten so many times, His body was all bloody. But by partaking the bread, we are saying, God, Jesus, Your body that is broken, by Your stripe, I can receive healing. And if we have sinned, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. And this table is about union with Christ. It says Holy Communion. So even if you're not baptized, but you want and you believe that Jesus is your Savior, and you want to be in union with Christ, we welcome you to partake this communion table. And even we ask the communion server to come up. And as the communion server serve you the bread and the cup, move from your position where you are. I ask you to, because we just talk about community as a body of a VCAC. Can you see someone that is alone, someone you never talked to, someone that maybe they are foreigner, they are outsider in this church, or someone that is hurting, go to that person and you're going to partake and pray with that person, and we're going to partake them the bread and cup together. But go to the person that's sitting alone, or even if they're sitting with someone, go to that person and we're going to wait for each other. We're going to partake together, but pray with that person together, because we're going to do it as a family together. This is the body of Christ that is broken for us as we partake it. If there's any healing that you need, take it in faith. And this is the blood of Christ that is shed for us for the forgiveness of sin. As we take it, He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. O Lord, as we come to your table, what you have done, the complete work of Christ, you sacrifice for us. You are our ultimate kinsman redeemer. We are stuck in poverty. We are stuck in sin, in darkness. But you redeem us fully, restoring our state as we were before. Full sonship, full daughtership, children of God, full inheritance. That's who you are. The power of God, able to deliver us completely. We thank you, and we look forward to your coming again. And I will do the benediction too. Lord, thank you for this message this morning. It takes the faith of a foreign woman, Ruth, to understand, to stick with her mother-in-law, to come and help and glean in the field. And because of her faith, God, you brought Boaz into their life to redeem them. And ultimately, the Savior from this family line. This story has a happy ending because it's written by you. God, if there's anybody here that's feeling bitter, desolate, depressed, stuck, Lord, we pray as a church community, help us to come alongside with them. It's not who finished the race first. It's how we can finish the race together. Lord, help us to be concerned for each other, because this fulfills your law. Help one another. Uplift one another. Thank you for this message. I pray this by the grace of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Jesus be with all of us. Amen.